What does the Fed chair think about trade? Markets want to know. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. In just a few minutes, Fed Chair Jerome Powell begins 2 days of testimony on Capitol Hill. Investors will be looking for, among other things, hints on how escalating trade policy might affect Fed policy. Gabrielle Santos is global market strategist with JP Morgan Funds.
So I think ultimately in his prepared remarks, Chair Powell is going to express a lot of confidence in the cyclical place of the U.S. economy, right? Things are looking good in terms of economic growth, the labor market, inflation. And he should continue to signal, as a result, a continued normalization of Fed policy, probably at a pace of a rate hike once a quarter. Now, I think really investors are probably watching the Q&A portion a little bit more to see if any of the congressmen really try to press Chair Powell a little bit more on trade tensions and how that's influencing any sort of the FOMC thinking or perhaps the future pace of monetary policy.
Well, you mentioned trade tensions. The EU and Japan just signed a massive trade deal today, cutting tariffs on 99% of goods, putting U.S. goods at a disadvantage. How are markets digesting that?
So I think there's this tug of war going on, which should become fairly obvious in the testimony today as well, which is short-term data looks very, very good in the United States, both in terms of the economy as well as profits. We're here in the beginning of the second quarter earnings season. But investors have to digest these continued trade tension clouds that are hanging over this picture and clouding perhaps the outlook for the economy 6-12 months from now. So I do think that it is weighing on sentiment, and it's likely to be a lot of these continued trade headlines.
Global market strategist for JP Morgan Funds, Gabriela Santos, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Goldman Sachs stock is down 1.6%, even after it named a new CEO this morning. President David Solomon will take over from Lloyd Blankfein in October. It will fall to Solomon to manage Goldman's move into retail banking, a big departure for the investment firm. And what happens at Goldman matters beyond Wall Street chatter. Here's Charles Elson, corporate governance expert at the University of Delaware.
Goldman Sachs has really been considered one of the preeminent investment banks in the United States for many, many years. They are at the absolute top of their field and have been for a long time. You also have to remember that Goldman Sachs has had huge influence over American finance policy. You can count several of the secretaries of the Treasury, including the current Secretary of the Treasury, came out of Goldman at one time or another. And that's why whoever runs it, it's important to the rest of us who happens to be in charge.
And it turns out even the new Goldman Sachs CEO needs a side hustle. DJ D-Soul, as Solomon goes by in New York, Miami, and the Bahamas, has more than 9,000 followers on Instagram. If you like what you're about to hear, check him out. DJ D-Soul on Spotify.
James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Getting people in the door to your restaurant appears to be less of a challenge these days. Restaurant sales will rise 4% this year, according to the National Restaurant Association. The trouble these days is actually staffing restaurants. As Lane Kaplan-Levinson reports, that's causing problems in places like New Orleans, a town known for its cuisine.
The kitchen at Rosedale Restaurant is still serving lunch well after 2 p.m., Chef and owner Susan Spicer is in the kitchen. She knows her industry gets a bad rap. Long hours, little pay, substance abuse, harassment.
But the restaurant business has a justifiably bad reputation.
Spicer's been in the biz since 1990. She spends a lot of time fighting that image, but still has trouble finding people to work for her. And she's not alone.
Everybody talks about it. I get together with other chefs, and of course it's tops pretty much on everybody's mind and lips.
40 New Orleans bars and restaurants opened in 2017, which makes it harder to find people. Spicer's seeing fewer applicants with less experience, and oftentimes the people she does hire
don't show up for the first day of work. It's crazy.
It's not just New Orleans.
Well, it's tight, and it's been tight for some time.
Carl Borchgrevink is the director of the School of Hospitality Business at Michigan State University. He says the worker shortage in the hospitality industry is nationwide.
We don't treat these positions professionally enough. We have to demonstrate that hospitality is an honorable profession.
There's some pushback as to whether there is a labor shortage. Meg Maloney is a line cook and a member of the New Orleans Hospitality Workers Organizing Committee. Her thoughts on the shortage?
How ridiculous it is.
New Orleans is predominantly African American, and Black unemployment in Louisiana was roughly 9% in 2017. Maloney says the real issue is that owners aren't doing what it takes to hire and retain employees.
These restaurants are guilty of not investing in their workers. They don't train people. They don't offer training. They pay us poverty wages but expect extremely high performance.
The Louisiana Senate recently voted against a bill that would have raised the state minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $8 an hour in 2019. In New Orleans, I'm Lane Kaplan-Levinson for Marketplace.
Asura is a Chinese fantasy film, the most expensive Chinese movie ever made. It is also one of the biggest flops in the world, ever, according to courts. Asura is a fantasy film that cost $113 million to make. It brought in just $7 million in its opening weekend. It was pulled from theaters after 3 days. The U.S., of course, has had its share of flops. The biggest flop on record is Sinbad, Legend of the Seven Seas, which lost $125 million. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.